Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris, equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm very excited to get to interview Gary Watts. He's a real estate economist and broker for Impact Real Estate. He's the owner, and it's located in Mission Viejo. Gary, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
I've heard your name a lot over the last few years, and I have been looking forward to this. 30 years ago, there wasn't the slightest blueprint to predict the direction of California real estate market. Can you share with us the process of discovery and what categories ended up mattering when you started doing your own research?
Well, your listeners should probably know that I graduated with a degree in economics. And I came from Northern California to Southern California, and it was a recession year in 1970 and 71. And it was then that I started getting a feel for the real estate market, not so much a feel, but just, you know, being interested in it. And then I got my license in 1971.
Okay.
The very first time I made a forecast was in 1974. I had had 3 years to kind of see uptrends and downtrends during the market, how it was affected. And so 1974 was the very first time I published a report on the housing market, but it was only isolated to the area I was knocking on doors as a real estate agent.
Okay.
And I told people in 1974 what to expect in 1975. And I was basing it basically on interest rates, income, and employment, and the demand for the area. And Mission Viejo was really just starting to take off. And so I was very fortunate to have been right that year. And even though the company I was employed by did not want me to do that, they couldn't stop me because they thought it was very risky to do something new like this. And then when I hit, the company said, would you talk to both of our offices next year and tell us what's happening?
So you've been doing this for 33, 34 years.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Along the way, I'm sure some of your discoveries have evolved. Did you ever have you had aha moments where you go, holy mackerel, I didn't realize that mattered?
Well, no. I mean, I don't know where it all came from because, you know, I'm not the really number-grinding economic person that searches all the data.
Okay.
It's more on the feel of the market, being a realtor in it. And even though I'm in an isolated area, I get a lot of feedback from people relocating and across the United States and feelings about areas and things like that. I think probably the indicator that became most important was the demand and supply on housing.
Okay.
And that allowed me to effectively be pretty accurate about my forecasting after 2000. When that became more of an important number to me. But we didn't have much numbers in the 70s and even into the mid-80s.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so I was looking more at the general national trends.
Okay.
How was the economy doing? What was the gross domestic product? How was the unemployment rates? Those were mostly the key indicators then.
Okay. In 1974, California and U.S. median price were only about 10% apart. And by 1980, California had tripled and far outdistance the national median price. What do you feel caused that to occur?
Probably the biggest issue was the baby boomers. In the early, late 60s, early 70s, they had when we all graduated from college, we went all across the United States. But by the 80s, the trend was that majority were moving to the South and to the West. And today, those college graduates locate in only about 12 major areas across the United States. And I think what happened was that these educated people with dual incomes started relocating to the West, the area where it was growing, and those dual incomes, along with some equity from previous purchases of real estate, because they got into it early in the 70s, and bringing that to the West Coast is what caused the separation of values.
Okay. During those years, 74 to 80, there were three things that occurred simultaneously with the price increase that most people connect with a bad real estate market. You had interest rates double from 8% to 16%. You had oil prices explode, and you had national debt increase. So why didn't any of those events stop the price explosion?
Well, it actually did, if you look on the national level across the United States.
Yeah, I'm speaking California now.
Yeah, California was a unique state because it was still in its growth pattern.
Okay.
And so California only participated up until 1996 in every other recession.
Okay.
And it was a really, it was kind of a unique thing. And one of the things I had studied was cycles in business, in the business school. So I could kind of see trends and how they correlated to election of presidents. But one of the unique things after about 20 years was that it was easy to see that California, being a rapidly growing state, that it only participated, as I mentioned, in every other recession. So we would bypass one recession, and that would allow us to have a run of at least 4 to maybe 6 years.
Okay. What do you credit finally putting a halt to the price increases in the early 80s? For, now, this is, again, for California specifically.
Well, two things really happened. Number one is that you had tremendous run-ups of property values in late 78 and into 79. And you're looking at almost outpacing the income there. There was a lot of, interestingly enough, it was probably the introduction of the flippers and the speculators coming into the market.
I was one of them.
So are you? Okay, good.
Just barely snuck in under the wire.
But the writing was on the wall with the inflationary trends that you talked about.
Okay.
And as the interest rates started to soar and inflation was out of control, if you remember that time period, it was finally in 1970, I think late 79, when they finally tapped the Fed governor from New York, Paul Volcker, to come in and take the reins of the Federal Reserve and start controlling how they were going to do it. And they used to control interest rates. And he said, no, we're going to control the supply of money. Let interest rates go where they may. Well, we know what happened then.
That's correct.
But he was, after about, you know, and even Congress, it was interesting, wanted to impeach him or get him out of there. But then they realized that the Federal Reserve was isolated and no one could touch him.
I know the builders felt like that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But even though he took us through a very, put us into a very painful period, in the long run, it was the right thing to do.
We're going to probably talk a little bit about that supply of money in the next interview as well. This is Bruce Norris, and you're listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show.
There are two kinds of real estate investors, those who buy retail and those who wish they had the skills and knowledge to buy wholesale. See, buying at full price and holding worked well until last year. Now you have to purchase property at a discount to make money. You've got to switch real estate strategies for today's market, and the Norris Group's California Only Investor Series can teach you. This three-day California-specific seminar is April 20th through the 22nd at Disney's California Grand Hotel. Bruce Norris will share his quarter century of expertise in buying California real estate. He'll teach 24 unique buying strategies to make money in any market, the negotiating skills you'll need and when to use them, and how to get into the profitable California foreclosure market. Real estate today is no place for amateurs. So become the California real estate investor you wish you were at the California Only Investor Series, April 20th through the 22nd. Space is limited, so go to thenorrisgroup.com and sign up today. Thenorrisgroup.com. Thenorrisgroup.com.
We're back, and you're listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. I'm very excited to get to interview Gary Watts. He's a real estate economist and broker for Impact Real Estate. He's the owner, and it's located in Mission Viejo. Gary, during this the early 80s, there was a tremendous amount of unsold inventory, and yet prices never really declined in California. What made that possible?
Again, California was one of those great states in its growth period, and the demand, even though there was a large supply of unsold homes, the migration into this state allowed for the housing prices to stay on the positive side.
Okay, so the migration was really a very, very significant thing.
Yes, and you had migration appearing in two waves.
Mm-hmm.
One was you had, again, the baby boomers relocating out here as industry was moving to California and away from the North Atlantic states or the Midwest. And that's also geared into the technology was starting to be introduced a little bit more, and the technology centers were based in California. The second thing was is that from Asia, we started seeing a large influx because of their wealth from Japan in the Asian continent into the California market. They loved the West Coast.
Now, they also migrated their money, too. Is that correct?
Huge amounts of money.
Okay. So sometimes when they do that, that also can create what looks to be demand, and then perhaps when they take their money home, it doesn't work out so well.
Correct.
Okay. You've stated that the world changed in 1979. How so?
Well, in 1979, and I use that term when I'm referring largely to people trying to measure the affordability indices.
Okay.
In 1979, again, going back to the baby boomers and their impact, they had been in the business world for almost 10 years. Now, never before in the history of the world had so many people entered college and come out educated. And what happened was, is the companies going into the new service fields and away from the industrial needed these people to work. And so when they came to college campuses and universities to recruit, they were also going after the women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a unique thing in the 70s because women traditionally got married, stayed at home, and reared the children. But they found out that they had a viable education and were looking to work in the workforce. And by doing so, they postponed the birth cycle for about a decade. And in fact, some books were written during that time called The Birth Dearth,
mm-hmm.
meaning that what are we going to happen if these women don't have babies? Well, they decided they would. They just gave 10 years of their life to business. Well, with dual incomes and them rising dramatically, everything got off kilter. From 1945 to 1980, the Internal Revenue Service would tell you that incomes for all tax brackets rose proportionally. No one was making more than another.
Okay.
But from 1980 to 2005, you take a look at that, and all of a sudden, the median income, although rose 18%, the top 20% of incomes grew by over 59%.
Okay.
And then the top 1% wage earners grew by 200%. So it turned out that from 1980, the rich were getting richer.
Correct.
And that's what sustained the market.
Okay. Did that also mean that there's a group of people that are really getting outpaced as far as their chance to own?
Well, yes. There's always going to be that group that never owns real estate that will be renters.
And for those of us, yeah, that need renters, that's a good thing.
Yeah, for the investment clientele, it's an absolute needed tool. And unfortunately, our educational system, the way it is now, and the dumbing down to try to meet, you know, state or federal criteria, is going to leave these people as renters for life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not uncommon. We're the youngest of the home-building nations, Bruce, so if you look at all the other nations, they've gone through this same cycle, where you get up to a point where you have those that own homes and those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we're starting to break into that period where you can't afford the house, and then you're going to be a rental. For investors, what a wonderful time, because the rental rates begin to explode. If you go anyplace else in the world and look at the rental rates based on income, it's magnificent. I mean, the rental rates take a huge amount of their monthly income.
Well, that would be a good sign for California that invest and have negative cash flows.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, in 1985, California started to get well again. We boomed through pretty much throughout the 80s until late 89.
Right.
In late 89, you earned a new nickname called Scary Gary. How was it that you became known by that description?
That and Dr. Doom and Gloom.
Dr. Doom and Gloom.
Well, in 1988, and mid-88 to mid-89, and through half of 89, appreciation rates were hovering at 20% per year. But on November 11th, everybody watching the news that evening saw something happen, and they were all rejoiced over it, and that was that the Berlin Wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
And that evening, I too rejoiced. But then I gave it a second thought and said, if the evil empire, as it was labeled, was crumbling, then we're in big trouble, because Southern California, well, California generally, but Southern California was receiving such a disproportionately large amount of defense contracts for then Ronald Reagan's Star Wars campaign to zap the missiles out of space. And with all the employment in the defense industry in Southern California, we were really a one-industry town. I knew that Congress would start drying up those funds because they were no longer a threat, and that was going to lead to some serious problems.
What were the dominoes that fell because of the military spending cutback?
Well, I think the listeners need to know that of the 50 states in the union, California was getting about 38% of all defense contracts,
mm-hmm.
which is huge, and then 60% of those were coming to Southern California. So the Berlin Wall comes down. Within a couple of months, Congress decides to start cutting defense spending.
Okay.
Which had been huge, and essentially terminated Ronald Reagan's Star Wars program. And when that happened, the rippling effect was tremendous because the defense industry is a kind of a funny employer. For every one person they employ, they need about 20 support people. No other industry is like that. So once they started laying people off, when they gave the pink slip to one manager, all of a sudden, 20 other people had to go, too.
Okay.
And so in Southern California from 1990, late 90, through 92 or 3, I think we lost 700,000 jobs.
And then those people probably couldn't find work locally, so they also migrated out.
Now, that's a really good point. The reason they couldn't, the highly educated people couldn't find work is because California, the defense industry, had drawn the most brilliant people across the country. I mean, if you imagine the mid to late 80s, and these were top computer scientists, we were going to shoot laser beams in space and attack these missiles. The astrophysicists, all of these people, it was phenomenal, their knowledge. But the general working world, business world, had no idea of what was going on in the defense industry. And when these people got employed, they came into, you know, they were looking for jobs where there wasn't even computers.
I remember that.
So it left them unemployed for, on average, over 2 years.
As far as real estate was concerned in 1989, was there any other indication that there was going to be a slowdown? Or was that just changed in November?
It was done. The primary effect was the Berlin Wall coming down.
Okay. How were your comments received by fellow realtors at about that time?
Well, they liked my forecasting up till then.
Yeah, I know.
I did tell them that there would be downturns here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, boy, I didn't have to do much speaking between 1990 and 1996. They would call me up and they'd say, hey, what's going to look like for next year? And I said, hey, you've got to get a grasp on things. We're going to be down for at least 4, maybe 5 years.
You know,
and that's when they called me, geez, that's scary, and then I became known
scary,
as Scary Gary.
Why is the truth really tough to hear? I mean, because it would seem like that would be a wise thing to know if you're a business owner or if you're a builder.
Oh, it's just human nature.
Okay. I found the same thing. If I come up with any kind of negative scenario, it's now he's being a pessimist, and the truth is you're really trying to be a realist.
Exactly.
But it isn't appreciated. So when did you finally lose that moniker? When did you
In 1996, I could see that, one, the employment was stabilizing. Number two, the builders had pretty much had left, you know, their building had declined so much that the supply was increasing, the demand was increasing the supply. And those factors, along with an improving employment base, and a more educated into the new world, because now technology was starting to move into businesses in 96. People started to have computers. And it was the beginning of building a new platform for America in the technology computer sector. And so those were the reasons that I said the end is now over.
Okay. I'm sure they were glad to have you back as a speaker then, too.
It's been pretty busy for the last 10, 11 years.
That's true. Ever since then, you've been talking very positively about California. And there were a lot of advanced schools of education who predicted California real estate would start going down, being affected by a real estate bubble as early as 2002. What were they concentrating on that was an error?
Academia was still tied to the affordability index. And they had records, and because this index is so old, they had decades and decades of data that says once it falls below 25%, real estate would turn south.
Okay.
But again, they didn't realize the impact. I don't even think they realized the impact of what happened in 1979, by 79, with the baby boomers moving in and the dual incomes and the wealth they were creating.
Now, you just finished speaking to probably dozens of audiences, and you were describing 2007 as a little bit of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And you're currently developing some condos, so you're still putting your money where your mouth is. So that's
exactly.
That's very important. What event are you waiting for to tell your people that the current housing boom is over? What would you need to see?
I would need to see the unemployment numbers rise significantly. I would need to see the income growth decline. And I would need to see overbuilding occurring in my own area. Now, that's not going to happen because of a lack of land, because we're almost all built out here in Orange County. It will affect other areas. L.A. will hold up pretty well, but the new communities are always the first to get hit, the Riversides, the San Bernardinos, the Inland Empire. Even San Diego, where there's still plenty of land to build, builders get a little exuberant in good times and tend to overbuild.
Yes, they do.
And that is probably the biggest culprit, because it certainly isn't a loss of jobs, and it certainly isn't declining income. So it has to be the fact that we've got an overabundantly supply in some counties in Southern California of real estate.
Okay. Here's a series of categories that you're familiar with, and I'd like you to put a number of significance on the category as it affects California real estate prices, 10 being most significant, 1 being least significant.
Okay.
Okay. Rising inventory for sale beyond historical norms.
That would be up in the 7 to 8.
Okay. Rising trustee sales beyond historical norms.
That is, and this might surprise your listeners, very little.
Okay.
I give it a 1 or a 2.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Rising unemployment?
That's back up in the, depending on the size, it can go anywhere from 6 to 10.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. In all these cases, there's a little variance. Rising interest rates?
The rising interest rates will be a big factor at today's loan level amount. So I'd have to put that, if we're safe up until about 8%. Over 8%, we're above 10.
Okay. Affordability?
That index no longer is relevant. I give it a 2.
Okay. National debt levels?
I'm going to put that neutral at 5. It's been declining as a percentage of GDP for quite some time, so it's not. It can have some effects, but right now it's in a neutral position.
Okay. U.S. trade deficit?
Also, we're trading one side of the coin for another. That's a neutral 5.
Okay. Tax law changes.
Has a big impact.
Do you see any chance of that, given maybe a presidential change of maybe Democrat in the White House? If that happened, would you be concerned?
No, I'm never really concerned who occupies the House and or Senate or who's the leader. I'm hoping that from the 1983 tax cuts that Congress has the ability now to look at 6 years of incredibly increasing employment, decreasing deficits, and what it does in terms of generating monies into the economy through tax cuts. However, Bruce, you'll be correct. If a group of people get together and they need to raise the they think that the best way to get more revenue to satisfy all the social programs and entitlements is to raise taxes, then it will have an effect on the U.S. economy.
Okay. We've run out of time for this segment, so we're going to come back in next week, and we'll pick up this discussion. Gary, thanks so much for your input today.
You're very welcome, Bruce.
All right, thanks.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com.
We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.